In James chapter number 3, if you're familiar with the book, and on Sunday nights we're working our way through. We're going through every verse. We find this passage gives the key to life. It gives the key to finding out where you're going in life. And it does so by talking about what you're using your tongue to accomplish. All right, can I tell you this? The best way to support someone, all right, and we'll say it. Let's break it down. Your greatest love organs are your ears, okay? All right, remember, I told somebody just today, I said, you know what'll save your marriage? James 1, verse 19. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. All right? If you would shut this and open this, you'd be successful. But sometimes opening this ruins it. Am I right? You know you can make or break somebody just with your mouth? You can encourage. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we are to every word that we use should be good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging someone. It says, hey, stay away from that foul, that abusive language that all it does is destroy. You know, and in James it goes on, and I'm saying, hey, if we're going to build a community, if you're going to be available, I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do is open your ears, okay? And then as you hear, God will tell you how to open your mouth. Right? But if you open your mouth before you open your ears, the Bible says in Proverbs, it is foolish for someone to respond without knowing all the facts. It's foolish to just start spewing stuff out without hearing it out first. When we were doing our how to reconcile a relationship, how to resolve conflict within relationships, we used, I think it was step 5, and we said, hey, listen, you've got to listen to people's hurts and perspectives. You've got to hear their hurts and perspectives. Their opinion and their view of the situation matters. Don't cut it off and don't jump in and try to change their opinion. Hear them out. Watch their body language. Watch how their emotions are involved, and you'll be able to know how to do step 6. Talk and tell the truth in love, tactfully. You'll know how to resolve conflict without arguing and stirring up more strife. James chapter number 3 gives us a really good overview. Just kind of read with me, and Casey, just kind of keep up. We're going to go down through several verses, okay? In James chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. Well, there you go. There's a good advertisement right there, right? He's saying, all right, hey, let's recruit. Not many of you need to do this. All right, here's what he says. Here's why. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. I take that very seriously, by the way. I was telling them just this morning in our new members class, about 3 weeks into our church's existence over in the storage building, I had a guy show up in overalls with all these little pins all over it. When I say pins, the ones that have like messages and different things. And he showed up like an hour and a half early. And he comes walking in, his truck's covered and plastered in scripture verses and stuff. Pretty cool, but he came walking up and he said, hey, and I said, hey, I'm Josh, how are you doing? I was like, what's your name? Trying to introduce myself. And instead of saying anything, he pointed just like this to a pen on the middle of his chest. And it said, I am apostle of Jesus Christ. He has sent me here with a word from the Lord. It is my job to take your pulpit and to preach and to minister. And I was like, well, buddy, I'm confused. Because I feel like God sent me here with a message today. And then all of a sudden you're saying God sent you here with a message today. And I don't really know you. And I don't know what you believe and what you stand for. So maybe we can get to know each other. And then maybe one day you can share a message. But until then, I can't let you do that. But come and join our service. He said, okay, I'll be back. You know, and he never showed back up. He left, said he was going to go get breakfast, never came back. I was like, well, his message from the Lord must not have been really that cool or that great, because he didn't bring it back to us. He never told me what God had told him. And I thought to myself, hey, look, you know what? I could have stuck that guy up there and he taught something that was totally against the Bible, totally against God's word. And then guess who has to stand in front of God and answer for that? Me. So when somebody comes to me and says, well, I've got a friend that I want you to have preach, I say, well, I need to hear a tape. I need to talk to them. We need to have conversation. You know how many people that they get offended by that? And they're just like, well, why do you have to know who they are? Because, can I tell you this? I'm not going to stand here, sit there, and let somebody stand here and not represent who God is. Matter of fact, I'll make you a promise. If that ever happens, I will have no problem walking up here and taking over, looking at Joe saying, turn his mic off. Turn her mic off and let's move on. Why? Because can I tell you this? Our opinions, our beliefs that we have formed do not matter. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. And so, listen, can I tell you this? In your home, guys, God's called you to lead. One day you'll stand and give an account for how you led your home. God's called you to love your wives and to do good. God's called you to faithfulness. One day you'll stand in front of God and you'll answer for that. You know, and I'm going to tell you this. This verse right here could be summed up by this. Let's stop playing church and let's start taking it seriously. That what we say and what we do matters. And people's lives and their eternities hang in the balance. And so therefore, guess what? We need to know that we're called before we volunteer, step out and try to do something. And then when God speaks, we speak. When God says nothing, we say nothing. All right? How many of you understand what we're saying tonight? All right, let's move on. All right, verse number 2. In verse 2, he goes on and he says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Now that's kind of a unique verse, isn't it? He's saying if you could just control your tongue, you could control everything else. If you could just keep your mouth closed. If we, you know what? How many of you have heard of impulsive shopping? You know what I mean by that? It means you weren't even thinking about it, but you saw the infomercial and you just had to have it and couldn't live without it, you know? And so in that moment, you call it up. Anybody in here, can I just tell you, can we just have a little fun? Anybody in here, the infomercials, they always get you? Anybody like that? All right. No. Really? How old is she? 10. All right. 3 years old. So we just proved. What? Yeah. How old was she? 3 years old. Now listen, Keisha just proved something about women that I'm not even going to talk about. You know what I mean? They're born with it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm joking. All right. But how many of you, you know, I've woke up several times in the middle of the night. My wife's sitting wide open, you know, and at 2 or 3 a.m., that's all it is infomercials. And she's sitting there writing things down. I'm like, you need to go to sleep. You know, it's like, I'm disconnecting the cable. We don't need the magic blender. You know what I mean? It's like, it's quieter than all other blenders. All blenders are loud, all right? It's not a blender if it's not loud, right? When you mesh stuff together, it sounds like, yeah, it's not, nothing in there. It doesn't purr like a cat. And that's what they were saying. It purrs. It's as if you're petting your kitten. I was like, I looked at her, I was like, you don't even like cats. You know what I mean? It's like, why would you want a kitten blender, you know? It's just morbid in its own thought. You know, so we give each other a hard time, go back and forth. But man, there's been times I've walked into Walmart just to go. Anybody else done that? Like, I'm bored. What am I going to do? Let's go to Walmart. When I was single, that's what I used to do. You know, it's like, there's nothing. I didn't have cable when I was living alone because, you know, I was in college. You know, you just don't have money when you're in college. And so it's like, well, what do you want to do for fun? Well, let's go to Walmart. You know how many times I went to Walmart not needing anything and walked out with something? Now, anybody else guilty of the same? Yeah, yeah. You know, it's easy when we're looking at shopping and something like that to realize impulsivism and what it creates. It creates debt. It creates a lot of things that you wish you didn't have. It creates baggage. It creates clutter. It creates your attic full of stuff that you didn't even know you had. All right? Let's refer that to your impulsive talking. It puts you in debt too. All right? It creates clutter too. It creates an attic full of things that should never exist. You know, it creates pain and things that don't need to be there. And God's saying here in His Word that, listen, if you could get this, everything else around you would work. You know, Proverbs says that some people will think you're wise, even if you're not, if you simply just keep your mouth closed. Isn't that crazy? You want to act smart? Just go into a crowd that doesn't know you and just sit and be quiet. They get intimidated. You know, how many of you have ever been intimidated by the quiet person? You thought, they're judging me. They're watching me. What's going on? You think they're brilliant. You know, they could be as dumb as gravel. And yet they seem brilliant because they don't open their mouths. Isn't it safe to say that sometimes when we open this, it really messes up who we are? All right? How many relationships have been destroyed? How many lives have been destroyed? How many people's careers have been destroyed because somebody could not keep this? All right, now look, if we're going to be a true army of God, then we've got to learn to let Him have control of this. All right, and we've got to pray through our thoughts. We've got to stop and we've got to listen. We've got to think things through before we respond and speak. Let's keep looking. All right, I'm just going to read actually down through verse number 11, verse number 12. Here's why. It kind of speaks for itself. So from here on out, let's just read together God's word and just stay with it. Verses 3 through verse number 12. It goes on and it says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. You want to see live version of that? Look at the field next door, all right? It says, and among all these parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, that's kind of weird, you know? It's talking about my mouth, and it's saying, hey, this dude in here, some of the things that come out of it come from hell itself. All right, now look at this. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it causes those who have been made in the image of God, it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this isn't right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. In other words, it's saying this. Hey, listen. You want to know who someone is? Watch their mouth. Listen to it. And if you want to prove to the world who God is, watch your mouth. You know, because out of that, man, we see in several different verses of Scripture, the power of life and death is where? Anybody know? In your tongue. You know, I was telling with our virtual church today at 3, I was saying, hey, listen, don't speak life into things that you don't want to live. Don't talk about things that you don't want to see. You don't want them to exist, don't speak it. You know, with our son and his condition, there's certain things we refuse to say. You know, he's blessed. He's got different abilities. He's got different things. I refuse to call my son disabled. I refuse. You say, well, you're in denial. No, I know he's got some differences, but I do know this. He doesn't know it, and he doesn't care. And so the truth is if he's going to live happy, then why can't I? If he's going to be excited about who he is and excited about jumping off of things and excited about playing outside, then why can't I be excited about those things? And instead of trying to make him into who I want him to be, why can't I embrace who he is and love him for that? Amen. You know, the truth is it's the same with the rest of the world. Why do we have to change the world to love it? Why can't we love it exactly like they are and then let God get in there and change who He wants to change to the way He wants them to be? See, it is not mine and your job to tell people how to live their lives. It is our jobs to introduce them to the one that lets them live abundant lives. That's our job. And so my job, my tongue, should forever be praising my Father. It should be lifting Him high. It should be showing His power. It should be preaching His love. It should be displaying His wisdom. Somebody told me today, you have an amazing way of shaping things. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not smart. I do not have a grand education. I had ambitions to get a grand education. I never achieved that grand education. I struggled in my pre-law requisite classes. And I looked at those things and I thought, man, how am I going to make it? I celebrated a D in my criminal law, in my business law. Celebrated it. You know why? It took me hours and hours of study a week to get the D. You say, well, why would you be proud of that? It was the best I could do. All right. In all honesty, I'm not going to be mad because it wasn't an A+. If it's the best I could do and I knew I did everything I could to get there, then celebrate. You know, I look at it and I'm going to say this. Listen, I do not say to reward laziness. Let's make that clear. My Bible says warn those that are lazy. But there are some subjects that your kids aren't going to be good at. Does that make sense? We don't need everybody to be an English major. English majors are boring. And if you are one, I'm sorry. Right? Okay? We don't need everybody to be a mathematician. We don't need everybody to have the same ability. They will excel at certain things, And they will not excel at others. All that you should require is their best. Am I right? Now listen. I don't think anybody is less of a person because they can't achieve normal things like you can or that I can. I believe that everybody in their own unique ability has a way to demonstrate and live a life that praises God and shows His power. And so it is our job as a church to say, I'm not to worry about your tongue. I'm not to worry about what you're doing. I'm to worry about what my tongue is saying and what my life is doing. And as a result, it answers one of these questions. Is someone's life better today because of something you said? Or is somebody's life worse today because of something you said? If they're better today because of something you said, then forget you said it, because God probably gave you that ability anyway. Don't get arrogant and move on. If they're worse today because of something you said, make it right. And make it right before you go to bed tonight. Send an apology. You know, we were talking today, Sean brought it up, you know, the three areas that we struggle with in temptation: lust of the eyes, all right, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all right? And the truth is the one thing that destroys more than anything is our pride getting in the way of us looking at people and seeing it is better for us just to make things right than to try to be right all the time. I've said it 1,000 times. I told my virtual church this today. I said, listen, the greatest marriage advice I ever got came from one of our elders, who he and his wife ended up divorced, by the way. And now they've been remarried for 30 years. They never married anybody else and left and all this other stuff. And I'll break it down in context. Never have I gone this personal with it. But I'll never forget when Howard told me, he said, listen, he said, I used to try to be always right, and it wound up to where we were divorced. And when we were divorced, I learned one thing. I'd rather be married than be right. And man, I thought about that. How good is that? And he said, so now there's certain arguments that I just want to stay married. I don't have to prove my point. You know, I don't have to get out Google just to prove that I'm right. You know, I don't have to go replay the entire conversation. Can I tell you this? We need people that just say, you know what, sometimes the best move for me to make is just to shut this. And to just choose to love. You know, isn't that Moses' main excuse to God? Well, I have a problem speaking, you know. I stutter, I stammer. By the way, I don't know if any of you know it. I've talked about it before, but that used to be a major issue in my life. I stutter. Now that I'm talking about it, you'll probably hear it coming out. Sometimes you hear it, I'll say, you ever heard those moments? All right. Used to, that was all the time. And when God called me to preach, I was like, you're crazy. You know, it's like, I get nervous. It gets worse. You know, and then it's just by the grace of God that when you do His will, man, it doesn't rely on your abilities. He starts flowing. That's what He said to Moses. He says, hey, dude, I'm going to speak. I don't need you to speak. I got the words. I just need you to stand there so I have something to speak through. Can I tell you this? God doesn't need us to go into the world and tell the world what they need. God just needs us to go in the world so He can speak through us. It's almost like you don't need a flashlight in every room of the house. You just need one. And then you can turn that dude on anytime those lights go out, and you can shine that light in the darkness wherever you go. And it's not that the flashlight is your source of power, but it is there to pour out the power that's needed when the power is gone that you're used to having. And I believe us, we as God's children, are that same thing. We are the light of the world, He says. He said, I'm the light of the world, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be healed, so let your light shine. Why? The power's out. And just get out there and His light's going to shine through you. And it's going to shine in darkness and it's going to bring people to Him. Nothing in the will of God requires you to figure it out. Nothing. Everything about the will of God requires you just to be willing to let Him take and use what He's already figured out through you. All right, so is somebody better today or worse today because of you? You say, well, today was a good day. All right, let's not just be literal. Let's be figurative. What about this week? What about this month? What about this year? Somebody struggling at your hands? No, even greater. Somebody struggling at your words? Hey, let's get a hold of it. And let's start praying before we speak. If you're gonna make a list before you shop, maybe you need to do that before you talk. Right? How many of you are list people when you go to the store? Right? Now, let's play a little game. Let's be honest. How many of you take a list to the store? Stick it up again. How many of you do that so you won't forget? All right? How many of you also do that so you won't add to? Yeah. That was almost everybody right back up. I am that way. We'll go in the store, and Jordan says, let's grab this. Is it on the list? You say, you're a Nazi. Yeah, I am. Is it on the list? You know, we make a budget for a reason. You know, why? Because everything in Walmart looks cool. Everything. You know how many Halloween costumes I've wanted to try on just walking down the aisle? You know what I mean? I could be a pretty cool little Batman. You know what I mean? I just would like to wear the mask and just walk around. I'm one of those, you know? I don't know if I'd pull off Wonder Woman as well. That seems to be a popular one this year. But you know, I look at them and I'm just like, I wonder what people would think if I just put that little thing on and walked around, you know? Some of them are too little. I'd have to have something on underneath it, you know? But the thing is, man, I just like to have fun like that. Then I go to the tool section. I don't even know what half of them do, but that is cool, you know? I'm sitting there and I'm looking. She came walking up. This just happened. I come walking around. She needed to go to the bathroom. And I started doing the budget on how much I spend at a car wash per year. Anybody else take their car through the car wash? You know, the manager special is anywhere between $12 to $20. And you know what I mean? That gives you free vacuuming. So I'm walking down the aisle and I'm like, you know what? I have a shop vac at home. I have water hoses. I could wash my own car for cheaper. I mean, like, so I get all this stuff. I start budgeting it. The average income per month that I spend washing my car and how much it would cost me in product. Now, I'm weird like that. All right, I'm one of those that loves to crunch the numbers. I put it all in my car, come walking around, and I'm like, I'm going to start washing our car. She goes, in October? I was like, good point. I got to go. I took it all back and put it on the shelf. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to get cold in 2 weeks. And most of the stuff isn't going to make it out of the package in 2 weeks. You know, I wash my car on average once a month, twice a month. You know, and she's like, so you're going to go out there when it's 20, 30 degrees outside and you're going to wash the car. Well, probably not. So do you really think you need to buy that right now? No. And like a little puppy dog with its tail between its leg, I made my sad little walk all the way back to automotive. You know why? I felt like a man. I was buying man stuff. For once, it wasn't a loofah or whatever you call that thing. It wasn't some body wash that has some magical, magical aloe in it. It was a man thing. You know, and I thought to myself, man, I'm so stupid. Sometimes I just go in there, I'm like, you know that battery's bigger than the one in my car. I might need it. For what? I don't even know how to change the battery in my car. You know, the thing is sometimes if I don't focus a list and stay to it, I will waste some money. All right, now listen. Maybe before you go into a deep-rooted conversation, you sit down and you focus the things you need to talk about. When you're in that conversation, you don't leave your list. You don't use that impulsive talking to get you in trouble. You know, I do this. If I know I'm going to go into a hostile meeting or if I know I need to go into a focused meeting, I will write it out. And if somebody gets off track, I will say, hey, well, listen, there's greater issues we need to deal with today. Let's get back to these. We'll deal with these when we move on. Can I tell you, we've had some meetings that needed some great decisions, but we have never had a meeting that ended hostile in the history of Grace Community Church. And I know when I say that, Satan's going to challenge that, but I am confident that if we continue the methods of which we meet, you know, you can't open in prayer and then start cussing each other out. You can't open and end in prayer and then start hating each other. You can't sit there. You know why? Because we're determined. We're determined this. No matter what our differences are, we're here to accomplish one thing, and that's lift high the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know why that's so easy in an elders meeting, but it's hard with my wife at home. Can I just say that? Anybody else say, I get you. Sometimes it's easy to be nice at work. Then you go home and you want to take out all your frustration. Now, none of you admitted that. That's because you're all in a lying mood tonight, all right? But the truth is we typically do that. You know, why can't our families and our friends get the same respect that we give our customers? You know, why can't they get the same respect we give our students? It's amazing to me how we can be so patient with a complete stranger, but we can't be patient with our own children. We can't be patient with our own spouses. You know why I think it is? It's because we have a focused purpose at work, and yet we don't have a focused purpose when we're home. You know the way to bridle your tongue is to have a focused purpose in every word you say. Say it on purpose for a purpose. Everything we do at our church, we do it on purpose for a purpose. If there is no purpose in doing it, then we will not do it. So same thing with our tongue. If there's no purpose in saying it, then don't say it. You know? Matter of fact, in all honesty, if we said half the things we wanted to say to people sometimes, we wouldn't have a church. We would hurt a lot of people. You say, oh, don't act like you're so godly all the time. How many of you, in all honesty, if your thoughts were exposed today, you'd be in trouble? Anybody like that? I'd slip my hand up. All right? The truth is if you think it enough, you'll eventually say it. You know, thoughts turn into words. Words turn into actions. What you're thinking and what you're saying, you'll do. You'll do. So you want to see where your life's going? Listen to yourself. If every day you talk about how bad life is, it's going to get worse. If every day you talk about how lonely you are, it's going to get worse. But if every day somebody on our virtual church said, so I just need to keep saying that one day we're going to own a home. I said, yes, yes, you need to keep saying that. You need to pray for that. And if you're going to say it, then you need to focus your actions toward it. That simply means if you want to own a home one day, start counting your pennies. Start making every dime count. It doesn't mean you just say, I'm going to own a home one day and then sit on your couch. It means I'm going to own a home one day, and that's why I got to go to work even when I don't want to go to work. All right, so here's the same thing. Sometimes you need to purpose who you're going to be in your faith. And at days that you want to stay home and just skip out on church, days that you want to just lay your Bible down and not pick it up, days you just want to bypass prayer and go on to bed, days that you want to do that, you got to purpose and say, you know what? If I'm going to achieve this in my faith, if I'm going to achieve this in my life, then I'm going to have to make myself sometimes do the things that I don't want to do. Why? Because I'm focused and I'm living on purpose. When you stop living on purpose, you start falling apart. And I don't want to see you do that. And most people start falling apart with their words first. Matter of fact, doesn't the Bible kind of prove that tonight? It's a rudder that steers an entire ship. It's a bridle that directs a horse. It's a flame that starts a fire. There's two fires represented in the Bible. Two. A holy fire that represents the presence of God. Remember that we preached the whole message, when God plays with fire, right? Amazing things happen. He showed up as a flame of fire in the Ark of the Covenant, different things, the mercy seat. You know, but there's another fire represented, and a lot of times we associate that with hell and how awful and destructive that is. There's two types of fire. So can I tell you this? Your tongue is a fire. The Bible says that. That doesn't change. My question is, which kind of fire is it? Which blaze are you starting? Are you starting a fire that builds people up, or are you starting a fire that destroys and tears people down? All right, bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody look around. How many of you here tonight, let's just be honest, I think most of us can say this, so let's just get the cat out of the bag, right? Your tongue is a weakness. How many of you say, I realize that, I see that? All right. Now that shouldn't shame you in this moment, it should motivate you. This past week, I started running again. On Thursday, I took off and I ran a mile. I set a pace. I wanted to do it in 10 minutes, so I set 10 minutes on my watch, and I did. I accomplished it in 10 minutes. You know what I found out about myself? I've gained 20 pounds since I last ran. You know what I figured out? My lower back is not used to running with that extra 20 pounds. And so running heels hurts right now. So you know what I've decided to do? Run treadmills. And instead of trying to do the inclines, instead of trying to climb the mountains, just stay flat and stay level until I shed some things that give me the ability to climb the mountains. Can I tell you this right now? You're in one of those moments where you're realizing what's hurting you. And instead of trying to shave it all off and tonight saying, you know what, I'm going to watch every word that I say. The Bible says, verse number 2 of that chapter said, we're always going to make mistakes. Right? We're always going to make mistakes. So instead of trying to set an expectation that you can't reach, why don't we say, God, put me on the treadmill. All right? God, I'm not able to take the mountain right now, but put me on a treadmill and teach me how. Maybe you need to get rid of the cussing. And you start with getting rid of the four-letter words that shouldn't be there. And maybe you need to get rid of the foulness, the crude jokes. So you start with just omitting that stuff. And then maybe you need to get rid of the hurtful phrases. You know what I mean? Like you tell your wife, you'll never, you always, you're just like your mom. And so you start omitting those things. And once you conquer, you start building and building up until everything that comes out of your mouth is good for the use of building others up. And so tonight I'm not going to ask you to make a promise you can't keep. Tonight I'm going to ask you, will you surrender just a few words? Will you surrender just a few things? Matter of fact, how many of you can say there's an area in my life where my talking, my tongue, is worse? Whether it's at work, at home, you can narrow it down. You're around certain people, it's worse. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. All right, so what now you do is you start focusing on, when you're around those people, changing the way you talk. Changing the things you say. See, tonight's not a night that God's saying, I'm going to beat you over your head with how bad your tongue is. Tonight's the night that God's saying, hey, running with 20 extra pounds hurts your lower back when you're running up a hill. So don't run a hill. Let's go at a steady pace on something solid, something flat, something level. How many of you tonight say, tonight's the night I will start my journey, and by God's help, I will start taming my tongue. Anybody like that? Amen. Stand with me. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to give you a secret to taming your tongue. You ready? I want you to leave with this thought. Your tongue is directly affected by what you allow in your ears. And if you're going to try to get certain language out of your mouth, you got to stop hanging out with people that use certain language. And if you're going to get certain communications out, you got to stop watching things that have that communication. You know, I'm going to tell you this now. If you got music that's full of lyrics about sex and drugs and full of lyrics of using God's name in vain, don't be surprised when it starts coming out of your mouth. And if you're going to try to better yourself, then don't allow in your ears what you will not allow out of your mouth. Because once it's in your ears, eventually it'll come out of your mouth. Point in hand. When I was 15 years old, I started working construction. Believe it or not. They never let me build anything. They only let me pick up things that they had built and thrown down. You know what I mean? So I hung out with construction guys. And not all of them are this way. Some of you are wonderful. But the guys that I hung out with, they only use foul language. You know what I found myself doing? I had a bad habit within 2 months of just having a sailor's mouth. You know? Can I tell you, it took several months to break that habit, but it also took a change of job to break that habit. You know, because I knew if I'm hearing it subconsciously, it starts taking over. That's why Satan doesn't come screaming at you. He comes whispering. He comes enticing. He comes offering something small and then starts taking more and more away from you. How many of you understand what I'm talking about tonight? So tonight, start watching what you're letting in your ear if you're going to start watching what you're letting out of your mouth. All right? Make sense? All right. Let's pray together and we'll dismiss. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for these opportunities. And I just ask that you will raise us up. God, I want to have those moments like you gave Moses, where he stood in front of an entire nation and they heard your voice. They heard your word just pouring out. Like you gave Joshua standing in front of that same nation. God, raise an army that when they speak, people hear you. They don't hear us. They don't see us. They hear you. And they realize that they can lean on you, that their communities form around you, that their communities form around proper, healthy language that we're using, that pulls people's hearts to a better type of living. God, I pray that you'll convict us where we need it, and that you'll give us the courage to embrace conviction and to embrace change in our lives. God, give us the strength. In you, we find that. The joy of you, the joy of the Lord, it gives us strength. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.